Good evening. And welcome to everyone who is joining us on the internet. Remember, as we're reading this section, that all of this discussion is going on in a chapter entitled The Journey Back, which could also be called The Journey Home, or which could be called You Coming Back Into Your Right Mind. This section won't deal with complex psychological concepts and ideas. You might not even think it to be particularly deep. But it's meant to convey a feeling rather than an understanding. A feeling that you may not be able to easily put to words. Remember that waking up is not an intellectual process. All the words are ever for is to bring you to a point where you can dare to relinquish control, where you can arrive at a point of daring to relinquish the exercise of authority. Because in the absence of the exercise of authority and control, you immediately become susceptible to that wonderful experience called inspiration. Indeed, revelation. The section is called The Power of Joint Decision. And of the two subjects, the one in the Sparkly book and the first and second edition, this is the preferable heading rather than The Treasure of God. We, meaning you and I, or we, meaning you and your guide. But right now we will say we, meaning you and I, are the joint will of the sonship, whose wholeness is for all. The joint will of the sonship is a singularity. It's not a conglomeration of wills. It's not an accumulation of individual wills that have all decided to work in harmony with each other while still maintaining their autonomy. The joint will of the sonship is each son and daughter of God experiencing being not intelligent, but intelligence. Experiencing being wisdom. Experiencing being joy. things which cannot, in actuality, be independent experiences. Because they can't be a possession, they are what you are, not what you have. You are intelligence. You don't have intelligence. And intelligence is the experience of, for lack of better words, mental balance, mental equilibrium, a capacity to be conscious of everything without losing your balance. The experience of being conscious of everything and being aware that it's all you. Not you having an independent experience of it, but that intelligence is the constituting presence of you and of everything. And no one thing has more or less of it. And no one thing has any different aspect of it. When you're experiencing the joint will of the Brotherhood, you're experiencing a unity with everything, together with the conscious experience that everything is having a conscious experience of unity with you, without division or separation of any kind. When you join with me, when you yield up the belief and practice of a separate will and you do not hold yourself apart from me and I am not holding myself apart from you, we are intelligence. We are intelligence. We are love. And we are the joint love of the Sonship, the joint will of the Sonship. In other words, when you do it with me, you do it with all of the Brotherhood. You don't get to have a special relationship with me. The moment you have a real relationship with me, you have a relationship with the whole. We are the joint will of the Sonship, whose wholeness is for all. We begin the journey back by setting out. How? Together. Not independently side by side, but together. And gather in our brothers as we continue together. Another important point. This joining between you and me is not for a little hit of inspiration, not for a little hit of enlightenment, whereby you can go back, walking along the path by yourself with some fresh insight. It's the beginning of a permanent union. We begin the journey back by setting out together and gather in our brothers as we continue together. Every gain in our strength is offered for all, so they too can lay aside their weakness and add their strength to us. Now, this isn't strength to overcome anything. It's strength in the sense of the conscious experience of integrity, of being integrated, of not being disintegrated. It's the strength, you might say, of the indivisible unity of the brotherhood, of the sonship, that is true of the whole sonship. It's an experience of invulnerability. Invulnerable because it is obvious as a conscious experience that there is nothing opposing it. Of course, when this is offered for all, so that they can lay aside their weakness, it is going to seem to them as though they're having to lay aside not their weakness, but their strength. They will think that they're going to have to lay aside their authority. They think they're going to have to lay aside self-defense. They think they're going to lay aside everything that has caused them to be fairly invulnerable or safe, which is going to mean to them that they are going to have to move into an unsafe arena, and there will be fear. There is fear with you. But you have come with me far enough to find that your fear, that your belief of fear, of being vulnerable, was not entirely true. And so you dare to risk the chance a little bit more than newcomers. You dare to risk the chance more that there will be safety in your joining with me, or your joining with the Holy Spirit, or your joining with your guide, and relinquishing the private autonomous authority that you have come to believe is all important to your safety. And so as we move along and others come in to view and the opportunity is for them to join, it is going to take compassion and understanding on your part, so that you might persist in the face of their fear. And encourage them to see that it just might be safe, and there just might be, for lack of better words, a payoff bigger than they're expecting. If they will risk the chance that there is a God and let him back in and begin to rely upon him and yield to him with ongoing commitment. Continuing, God's welcome waits for us all. and he will welcome us as I am welcoming you. Forget not the kingdom of God for anything the world has to offer. The world can add nothing to the power and the glory of God and his holy sons. But it can blind the sons to the Father if they behold it. Now, let's continue to be clear here. The world that this is referring to is the world you have made up as an independent viewpoint, an independent concept, an independent definition created by you after you got the bill of divorcement from the Father and forgot who you were. What you have created in your mind and overlaid upon the kingdom of heaven can add nothing to the power and the glory of God and his holy sons. But this world that you have made up, imagined, and defined can blind the sons to the Father if they behold it. You cannot behold the world and know God. Or you cannot behold the world you have made up in your mind. You cannot behold the definitions of the kingdom of heaven that you have made up that are different from what the kingdom of heaven is and know God. Only one is true. I am come to tell you that the choice of which is true is not yours. Your great acts of independent creativity, the creativity that has come up with definitions of the kingdom of heaven that are at odds with what the kingdom of heaven is, are just that, imaginative illusions. You can't choose for it to be real, but you can choose to ignore what is real in favor of your definition because you think it feels so good to have been able to be creative on your own. I am come to tell you that the choice of which is true is not yours. If it were, you would have destroyed yourselves. Yet God did not will the destruction of his creations, having created them for eternity. His will has saved you, not from yourselves, but from your illusions of yourselves. And I would add, not from your world, but your illusions of the world. He has saved you for yourselves. Let us glorify him whom the world denies, for over his kingdom it has no power. No one created by God can find joy in anything except the eternal. That is not because he is deprived of anything else, but because nothing else is worthy of him. What God and his sons create is eternal, and in this and this only is their joy. Listen to the story of the prodigal son and learn what God's treasure is and yours. This son of a loving father left his home, he's got a bill of divorcement, and thought he squandered everything for nothing of any value, although he did not know its worthlessness at the time. He was ashamed to return to his father because he thought he had hurt him. Yet when he came home, the father welcomed him with joy because only the son himself was his father's treasure, not the wealth that the son thought he had squandered. He, the father, wanted nothing else. God wants only his son. God wants only you. Because his son is, you are, his only treasure. You want your creations as he wants his. Your creations are your gift to the Holy Trinity, created in gratitude for your creation. They do not leave you any more than you have left your Creator, but they extend your creation as God extended himself to you. Can the creations of God himself take joy in what is not real? No. And that's why you don't experience a lot of joy. Because you're insisting on making what isn't real, real. And you do it all for the sake of trying to save your right to be autonomous. And at the bottom line, to prove to God that because you are his son or daughter, you can speak with God's authority without including God. It is amusing. And it's good to know it's amusing rather than to think it is a sin for which you will spend eternity damned in hell. It's an amusing foible of the mind, which is easily correctable. Correctable by breaking the isolation and deciding to join with the Holy Spirit, or to join with me, or to join with God. And then leaning into that decision, you might say, so that more and more of your day is spent not making decisions by yourself. Your creations are your gift to the Holy Trinity, to the whole, in other words, created in gratitude for your creation. Well, let me put it this way. When you break the isolation and you begin to experience the influx of inspiration, of inspired consciousness, there is a joy that you feel that overflows the boundaries you might have thought there were to your mind, and yet extended to everyone and everything. And I mean by that, that you are aware of having a brand new experience of everyone and everything that is illuminated by the inspiration that has flowed through you. That gift is your creation. And it's a creation that happens because you have spontaneous gratitude to God. For what you are, for what you are finding you are in that state of inspiration. They, your creations, in other words, the extension of joy and gratitude that flows uninhibitedly out, embracing everything, they do not leave you any more then you have left your creator, but they extend your creation as God extended himself to you. Can the creations of God himself take joy in what is not real? And what is real except the creations of God, meaning you, and those which are created like his? Your creations love you as your soul loves your father for the gift of creation. Your soul loves your father for the gift of its creation. That experience is what occurs when you annul the bill of divorcement from the father and let him in once again. Your soul loves your father for the gift of its creation and for the gift of creation as the spontaneous movement of being that it, you, is. There is no other gift which is eternal, and therefore there is no other gift which is true. Now, what we're talking about here is that as you abandon autonomy and you join with me or the Holy Spirit or the Father, you move into a conscious experience of singularity, in which creation is a shared experience. You and God constitute a shared experience of creation. You share the movement of creation that God is being, and out of gratitude and out of joy, it bubbles forth and overflows from you. And together, you be the singular movement of creation. Continuing, how then can you accept anything else or give anything else and expect joy in return? And what else but joy would you want? You made neither yourself nor your function. You made only the decision to be unworthy of both. You see, the only decision that you individually could make would be a decision to act at odds with the Father. The moment, because there is no decision to be made as the son or daughter of God. You, joined with the Father, find yourself not faced with decisions, just the emergence of joy and gratitude and awe and bliss and love that embraces everyone and everything. That is your gift, and that is what you create. That is your creation. But your creation is only the illumination of the movement of God in you. I say only, and that might make it sound minimal. It is only that, but that is an infinite gift. You made only the decision to be unworthy of both. Yet you could not make yourself unworthy because you are the treasure of God. What He values is valuable. Do you hear that? What He values is valuable because He is the one who determines the meaning of everything. And therefore, at this very moment, no matter how you are thinking of yourself, no matter how poorly you are defining yourself in your mind, you are wrong. Anne, wake her up. I want you to hear this. No matter what you are thinking about yourself, no matter how you might be perceiving yourself, no matter how poorly you might be defining yourself, you are valued by God. And that means that your current definitions of yourself are not true. You are welcome. What He values is valuable. There can be no question of its worth. In other words, there can be no question of your worth because its value lies in God's sharing Himself with it and establishing its value forever. You are the visibility and tangibility of God. Therefore, you are valuable. And that's unchangeable. And it is not egotistical or arrogant to think of yourself that way. It is unworthy of you for you to think poorly of yourself and believe your belief. Your function is to add to God's treasure by creating yours. Well, what would your treasure be? Your treasure would be to let the fullness of the perfect movement of creation of God to find expression through you. And not minimize it or distort it by some bias or personal tiny preference that you might bring to bear upon the movement of God's presence. Your function is to add to God's treasure by creating yours. His will to you is His will for you. He would not withhold creation from you because His joy is in it. You cannot find joy except as God does. His joy lay in creating you, and He extends His fatherhood to you so that you can extend yourself as He did. Well, there isn't anything for you to extend but what the Father has extended to you. Intelligence, love, wisdom, joy, peace. In as many ways as come to you for expression. You do not understand this because you do not understand Him. No one who does not know His function can understand it, and no one can know His function unless he knows who He is. Who are you? Well, in spite of your bill of divorcement, you are the son or daughter of God. You are that which has the function of embodying all that God is being right where you are. And letting it out into expression. That's what you are. The place where God shines through. The place where all that is good and holy, meaning whole. The place where love shines through is embodied. The place where intelligence is embodied. The way, the place where embrace occurs, inclusion occurs, joining occurs. Your will was not created separate from His, and so it wills as He wills. An unwilling will, which is the definition of an ego, an unwilling will does not mean anything, being a contradiction in terms, which actually leaves nothing. When you think you are unwilling to will with God, you are not thinking. God's will is thought. It cannot be contradicted by thought. God does not contradict Himself, and His sons who are like Him cannot contradict themselves or Him. Yet, their thought, your thought, is so powerful that they can even imprison the minds of God's sons if they so choose. And so, if you choose to imagine that you've gotten a bill of divorcement from the Father and you can act and decide and define what everything is on your own, you can blind yourself to reality. You can imprison the Son of God that you are in a costume that says, You're immortal. Subject to sin, disease, and death. Living in a hostile world, which you must use your wits to protect yourself from and survive in and perhaps achieve some form of success. This choice does make the sun's, it does make your function unknown to you. This choice does make the sun's function unknown to him, but never to his creator. And because it is not unknown to his creator, it is forever knowable to him. In other words, because your function is not unknown to your creator, it is forever knowable to you. And it's available at every moment. There is no question but one you should ever ask of yourself. Do I want to know my Father's will for me? Well, I'll tell you that very often Paul says, no. And very often you say, no. But Father, I'd rather do it myself. I know how to handle this. I don't need you to hold my hand when I take a pee. I know how to do that. Hey, why not have a friend with you when you take a pee? Why not have a friend with you all the time? Why endure the experience of loneliness that always accompanies acts of independence and isolation? There is no question but one you should ever ask of yourself, do I want to know my Father's will for me? He will not hide it. He has revealed it to me because I asked it of him and learned of what he had already given. And this is why I can remember for you. And when you let it in, that will be why you can remember for your brother. And that's how the dominoes begin to fall. And awakening becomes an epidemic. Our function is to function together, because apart from each other, we cannot function at all. When you act on your own, creation isn't occurring. When you act on your own, nothing is happening of the sort you think you've created as an event. Creation, as the Father is being it, continues to happen right in the face of your attempts to act independently and authoritatively and creatively. You can sit in your living room and close your eyes and imagine that you're bungee jumping off of one of the highest bridges, and you can create for yourself all of the sensations of falling and even of fear, and you can imagine that you come as close to hitting the bottom as is possible without hitting it, and you can get a real thrill from it. But the fact is, through it all, nothing happened. Continuing, the whole power of God's Son lies in all of us. And this is the important point. but not in any of us alone. The whole power of God's Son lies in all of us, but not in any of us alone. God would not have us be alone, because He does not will to be alone. That is why He created His Son and gave Him the power to create with Him. Is that clear? God would not have us be alone. That means that every idea you have embraced that suggests that you are an independent entity and it is something to be proud of, will be undermined, broken down, and disintegrated. And you must allow it to happen. And you must be willing to question the idea that competition is valid and valuable, because competition can only occur between independent entities who have the function or purpose of developing skill that is always greater than someone else, and which believes that the strenuousness of the exercise of competition improves you. God would not have us be alone. Let that sink in and give it your attention so that you can realize how far-reaching that is and the way it flies in the face of a great deal of what is taught to your children in schools. It's competition. It's a form of survival of the fittest. You'd better work hard so you can rise to the top of your class, so that you can get into the best college, so that you can demand the highest salary and be the best in your world, towering over everyone else, if at all possible. You see? God would not have us be alone, because he does not will to be alone. That is why He created His Son and gave Him the power to create with Him. Now, your capacity to create includes, as one of your creations, the ability to make the gift of the recognition of the value of your brother, because you both have the same Father. And you are both equal in the Father, because the Father has given all that He is, embodied all that He is in each of you, and each of you taking your place in that equality allows you not to possess a better intelligence than others, but it allows you to be intelligence itself, which cannot be compared, and in which there is no potential for evaluating different aspects of creation and finding some to be better than others, and some to be faulty and some to be lacking. our creations, the gifts that we give, the capacity to recognize God in everything we see. That's our creation, the gift of that recognition. Our creations are as holy as we are, and we are the sons of God Himself, and therefore as holy as He is. Through our creations, we extend our love. And thus increase the joy of the Holy Trinity. You do not understand this for a very simple reason. You who are God's own treasure do not regard yourselves as valuable. Given this belief, you cannot understand anything. Why? Because you can't see anything as it is. I share with God the knowledge of the value He puts upon you. My devotion to you is of Him, being born of my knowledge of myself and Him. And we could put this another way. Your devotion to your brother is of Him, being born of my knowledge of myself and Him, which has been extended to you, and therefore has become your knowledge of yourself and Him. We cannot be separated. Whom God has joined cannot be separated, and God has joined all His sons with Himself. Can you be separated from your life and your being? See, that's what you are. You are being. You are the movement of being. You are the conscious experience of being. You're not a being. You're the very movement of life itself. The journey to God is merely the reawakening of the knowledge of where you are always and what you are forever. We could say the journey to God is merely the reawakening of the knowledge of where you always have been and what you have forever been. It is a journey without distance to a goal that has never changed. Again, the journey to God is merely the reawakening of the knowledge of where you are always and what you are forever. It is a journey without distance to a goal that has never changed. The return home is a return to a state of mind. In which you are included, everything is included, and it is all embraced in an unwavering, unchanging, and uninterruptible love. It is your own mind experiencing sanity, integration, integrity, invulnerability, because there is nothing beside it, in which all of creation, including every single one of your brothers, is experienced as, I've said before, as family, not opponents. Your journey home, like that of the prodigal son, is one of coming closer and closer to the conscious experience of the fact that the Father's love for you has never changed, and that what you thought he loved is not what he loved, and what you thought he didn't love, namely naughty little you, he never stopped loving. So this movement home is a movement which is enveloped in love. One in which you should increasingly feel the experience of being loved for no good reason. I mean by that, that you should find yourself experiencing love not because you have done something well, not because you have acquired enough skill and have spiritualized yourself enough to be worthy of it as you get closer to home, having lifted yourself up by your own bootstraps. No. Be willing to remember who you are, the divine and holy Son of God, God embodied by you? No, by God. Therefore, the gift of God is fully given to you as you. And that is what it's your birthright to be experiencing. And in the experience of it, finding yourself unable to withhold that same embrace from your brothers and sisters, and thus engage in creation by the extension of your gifts. We're going to stop there for this evening. And I want you to abide in the feeling that has been conveyed. And I suggest to you that you read this section over during the coming week to remind yourself of the feeling. Because the feeling is part of what will help you dare to abandon the practice of self-defense, and to abandon the practice of control, and the practice of being totally committed to the definitions you have given everything, so that in the absence of that commitment, you might be inspired. I love you, and I look forward to being with you next week. It's always good to be with you.